Call the conference committee to order on House Bill 2498 this Friday, June 10, 2005. I'd like to thank the members of the Senate and the House conferees on this committee for being here this morning. We are considering some amended language to Senate bill, to House Bill 2498 that I think will clarify some of our intentions in this bill while we retain the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish, which is to make sure that all women, regardless of age, have access to annual comprehensive breast examinations, and that providers, should they decide to perform a procedure called a clinical breast exam, would be reimbursed to provide that procedure. Commissioner Butler, Berger, would you like to run us through the process that we undertook to get to this point?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you very much, members of the committee. Representative Dalto and I met with on Monday with counsel and some advocates to talk about the issues around the language of Section 1, clinical breast examination. Representative Dalto can speak for himself on to some of the issues around that language that were discomforting in terms of what exactly they meant. And so we basically met with counsel, and the B4s are the result. You'll notice that they replace the original bill. The critical piece is Section 1, which more, I think to our satisfaction, explains what we mean by clinical breast examination. There's been a lot of discussion around the
Section 2, sub 1,
I'm sorry. There's been a lot of discussion on Section 2, sub 1A, the change in the Senate from 40 to 18. That was really not the substance of our discussion. That was, I think, an accepted part of it. And then the sub 2 talks about our feeling that this examination should be provided, this exam, regardless of whether other exams are involved or not. I think it sort of speaks to some of the issues that were got this thing sort of hung up, and I'm quite satisfied with it.
Thank you, Representative Berger. Could I ask Kelly Robinson to come forward, please, let's counsel.
Thank you.
Good morning, Holly. One of the things we needed to accomplish in our amendments is in Section 1 to place this part of the insurance code. Could you explain why we needed to do that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Holly Robinson, Legislative Council. Two reasons. One, to correct a mistake that I made in drafting this bill originally. All provisions that affect insurers are added to the insurance code so that the insurance division has the authority to enforce and regulate them. It was an oversight on my part that it was not done originally.
Did that issue come up in the Senate?
No, it actually didn't, much to my embarrassment. And part of what happened was I made the mistake originally, and then we just kept recopying it, and after a while you just don't see. And so fortunately I was given an opportunity to make it right. All insurance bills look that way.
I just Senator Brown?
Mr. Chair, I'm not familiar with the House rules. Are we limited to, in a conference committee, discussing that the issues that were the difference between the House and the Senate? I mean, I'm not opposing this particular issue. I think it's really critical, but I would hate for us to not comply with House rules.
I asked that question on the floor.
Okay.
And asked whether there were sidebars on our discussions. And the answer was no, we could discuss anything relevant to the bill.
And so that's true for all conference committees then?
That wasn't challenged.
Okay, great. Thanks.
I'm not sure it's true of all conference committees. I don't know if I asked it relating to this question.
So this
question,
is an exception for this particular bill.
The chair answered the question.
I don't know if we're going to allow an exception for this particular bill.
Holly, you were explaining your first point yet another?
No, I was just on this one.
Okay.
On why we added it, why Section 1 adds Section 2 to the insurance code.
Okay. The next question is on the B4 amendments. lines 21 through 23. This section applies to health care service contractors as defined in ORS 750.005 and trust carrying out a multiple employer welfare arrangement. Can you explain that, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in the original version of the bill, I believe that was section 3 of the bill. The reason technically that these look different is this. Historically, in the way that the insurance statutes are written, the 743 statutes apply to insurers, the 750 statutes apply to healthcare service contractors and to multiple trust arrangements. Historically, when our office has drafted provisions that apply to both, we have added the language affecting insurers into 743, and then we've always had multiple pages at the end of the bill that add that new section to 750.055 and 750.333. With the chair's permission, I would like to use a visual aid, because this is probably the most effective way to explain to you why I'm doing what I'm doing, why this looks a little bit different. For example, every insurance mandate or most insurance provisions have subsequent repeat provisions that apply in the other statutes. Because of what has gone on in the last two sections regarding the automatic sunset provision, many statutes are now what we call triple amends. And they go on for pages, and they're the same statute. And when we add a mandate and we take it out in this part of the book, which applies to them, we have to print it two times, three times. In one case, we had to print it four times. So from a drafting standpoint, I just decided it would be easier to have it in one place. It says the same thing. It's just cleaner and easier to follow and takes up less paper. It wasn't the original bill. It was just section, I think it was a standalone section. This makes it crystal clear that, in fact, it applies. In the other bill, we got some questions as to whether or not it applied or was an exception. In this case, it was intended to continue what we've been doing. It just looks different, and that's why I just redrafted it in the way it was.
Okay, thanks very much. You have both the B4 and the B5s in front of you?
I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. She's the new ones.
Holly, you've drafted the B4s and the B5s. The B4s came out of the meeting that you participated in that Representative Berger referred to, and the B5s are something different. Could you explain the difference between the B5s and B4s, please?
Mr. Chair, I would be happy to. Section 2, subsection 1, paragraph A and paragraph B, which are lines 12 and 13 of the B4s, set forth a scenario whereby a woman is entitled to a breast examination.
I'm sorry, are you talking about the fours now?
I'm talking about the fours. I'm sorry. That under the B4s, a woman would be entitled, if a woman with insurance would be entitled to one breast exam annually if she was 18 years of age or older, or at any time at the recommendation of her physician. The other major provision in the B4s is subsection 2 of the section, which says that an insurance company will provide coverage of the examination regardless of whether or not it takes place at the same time that the woman is having other women's health examinations are being performed. So it says that regardless of whether, we'll make this personal, I show up for my pap and pelvic exam, or I show up at another time, I would be entitled to coverage of my breast exam regardless of what other physical examinations are taking place at that time.
In this language in subsection 2, this is the language we all came up with together. Is your reading a pretty sort of, I don't know what your legal term is, but a pretty plain and clear meaning of these terms?
The language in subsection 2, I believe, states clearly that the policy must provide coverage of the exam regardless of the circumstances when it occurs, so long as it is either is done once a year or if it is done at the recommendation of the physician. So if I show up for my annual exam and I choose for whatever reason not to have a pap and pelvic done or have any other tests done and just want this done, I can have that happen, or the doctor may choose to do other exams. But I think the language is clear that there is coverage for this, basically regardless of what else is going on during that examination.
Okay.
And how does the
phone? I was looking for my signal.
Oh.
I was pretty clear. The B5s change those two ideas dramatically. In Section 2, Subsection 1, Paragraph A, and Paragraph A of the B5s now states that you get coverage for a breast exam either if it takes place at the same time as the pap and pelvic exams, which are required and to be performed under 725, or annually if you show up and the pap and pelvic exams are not medically necessary. So there are two situations where your annual exams are limited by either being taking place at the same time as other women's health exams are, specifically the ones under 743, 725, or if for some reason those are not medically necessary. It does retain the provision that if a physician makes the recommendation or the woman's health care provider recommends that coverage, then that would not be able to be, would occur. It basically, in the limitation of the limitations under Section 2, Subsection 1, Paragraph A, basically sets forth a different policy choice than Subsection 2, Subsection 2 of Section 2 of the B4s. One set says if you show up, and you either show up annually or at the recommendation of the physician, the coverage will be provided. The B5s provide a limitation on that and say you only get it under certain circumstances.
What are the certain circumstances?
Again, if the examination is performed at the same time as the pap and pelvic is performed, or annually if you don't need a pap and a pelvic for medical reasons.
Yeah, I think that represents a departure from what we agreed on.
Mm-hmm. The other difference,
Representative Berger?
Yeah, but it also, at the recommendation of the physician, remains in there. So that still applies.
Representative Berger, that's correct. That if outside of the annual checkup, if the doctor says, I believe that you need this, then the doctor has the ability to basically be paid for it, but it comes from the direction of the physician or the healthcare provider.
It seems to me that what is attempting to be gotten at in that paragraph A on the B5s is that a provider couldn't bill for a complete annual exam if only a clinical breast exam was performed. But I'm not so sure that can't occur with the B4 language that we have already.
Mr. Chair, I didn't track the question.
I'm sorry?
Or was that a question or a statement?
It's a little bit of both.
There is one scenario, if I might, Mr. Chair, that I think that differentiates between the B4s and the B5s, at least from a policy or a legal standpoint. If I'm an individual who, well, this seems to be true, use my birthday month as sort of my reminder about when I needed to do this, and I went to the doctor and I had my annual, my pap and my pelvic and my mammogram referral done, or I did that myself at that time, and for whatever reason, my breast exam did not occur at that time. I was not perceived to be at high risk, and the doctor didn't really think it was necessary. And then I show up 3 months later and say, oh, by the way, this didn't happen 3 months ago. Would you do it? I think that there's the possibility then that the physician would do it and not get paid because it did not occur at the same time as my examination, my pap and pelvic, and it wasn't right. And the doctor may or may not be at his or her recommendation, depending upon what my medical condition was. Now, we end up in somewhat of a disconnect between real world and what the law says, but I think that in this case there is an option where the doctor says, you were just here, and you don't medically need this, but there, I think there is the possibility, pragmatics aside, in the way that this language is written, to exclude coverage for some examinations.
Okay. Can we move on to the rest of the bill, then?
Okay. With pleasure. Subsection 2 of Section 2 is the other new language that's in B5s, and this states an assumption that I think is implied generally, and says that the examination shall be conducted in a manner that is consistent with standards of medical care. I think that is there are some assumptions. I know what the proponents think it does. Maybe they would be better able to defend and define it than I am.
Dr. Jim Greenley?
Yeah, I want to comment on that. There's nothing else in that physical examination that says that, is there? I mean, this is a little odd. The reason it's odd is because the standard is emerging, in fact.
In this particular subject,
which
is exactly, Mr. Chair, if I might, that I think they want it there. The reason that the concern about that language that I expressed to them, and there are other lawyers in the room, and they might disagree with me, but from a drafting standpoint, and I think a court interpretation standpoint, this language exists in one set of statutes, which, as Mr. Chair, Representative Greenleaf, you've identified, it's an emerging standard of care, but it's not in other statutes, which, in fact, probably over the years that they have been enacted, are also evolving standards. So then this issue shows up in front of the Court of Appeals, and they say, well, these have the legislature, when they want something to happen, they enact it, and we can't fill in the gaps. And my concern about this language, because I think there is this assumption that it will be, is that you take the PAP and pelvic, which we're now applying this to, this language does not exist. The Court of Appeals is trying to analyze what their role is. And do they assume then, because it appears in one situation and not the other, that PAPs and pelvics don't have to be conducted in accordance with the standards of care? And what kind of ambiguity does that create? I have some real concerns from that. In part, I mean, I understand that in this arena there is an evolving standard of care. But clearly in many of the statutes that we deal with health insurance, many of them have evolving standards of care. And the Court of Appeals, I think, in this case would say, well, the legislature was silent on the PAPs and pelvics. Does that mean that those don't have to be provided in accordance with the, or conducted in a manner that's consistent with the standard of care, because the legislature chose to say it in one place, didn't choose to say it in another? Does that mean it make us, should we then draw the assumption that because they chose not to say it, and at this point I'm picking on Matt Phelps' habit, pelvics and PAP exams, because that's in here, that they didn't mean that those have to be done. And I think that if we start injecting that language now, and we have this whole history where they're not, I think the field then becomes ripe for tremendous litigation.
Sure, Brian.
And I have some real concern. And I have expressed that just as adamantly to the proponents of this, so this should not be a surprise to them. But I do have concerns about the assertion of that language in this bill. It's presumed, and it generally, I think, applies in other contexts. But I'm concerned about, from a drafting standpoint and a statutory interpretation standpoint, what the unintended consequences of that would be.
All right. Thanks, Holly. No. Could you stand by for a few moments?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll stand at ease for just a moment. Welcome, good Senator Jackie Winters joining us, and also Representative Chuck Burley from Bend joining us, and Senator Brown rejoining us.
You are gone. I live in Richmond.
Well, I think that based on what I'm hearing here, there is an emerging consensus on the dash fours on this panel. Having said that, I would like to invite the proponents of the dash fives, the B5s, to come forward. They can sort of select who they want to come forward and explain to us why we're about to make a mistake. But come forward and walk us through the amendments, if you will, and offer some suggestions on the B4s.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for having us. My name is John Powell. I represent Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield, Oregon. With me is Mike Becker, who is in charge of government affairs and regulatory affairs and community affairs for Regents Blue Cross of Oregon, and Melanie Westrick, who is a registered nurse. Are you an IN?
I am.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, before I kind of set the stage, I think it is perhaps inaccurate to refer to us as the proponents of the Dash 5 amendments. We did draft some instructions that others took the legislative council, but the amendment that's before you is not drafted as we had suggested.
I will correct that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me begin by kind of setting the stage. I don't think there's a disagreement in the room on the need for these and the need to reimburse for these types of exams. I think if there is a difference, it is to make it clear what you mean. And I think that's the debate here, is clarity as opposed to do it or don't do it, or is there a trap door here for someone. There is absolutely no intent to create a barrier for access to this type of care. In 1993, the legislature passed a law that actually provided for examinations like these specifically. That was amended in 1999 for mammography. And in that amendment, the quote, breast exam portion of that law was removed inadvertently. It wasn't to say we're not going to do that anymore. Insurers have continued to pay for both. That is, they did not go to their policies and say we're not going to pay for a breast exam. So we pay for these exams today, and we pay for them when they're recommended by a physician. And in the discussion you just had, the only way I could see a physician would not get paid under the Dash 5 amendments that say at any time at the recommendation of the woman's health care provider is if when the physician billed for that, they noted they did not recommend it. I would assume that when a medical provider performs something on a patient, it almost always that they agree that it should be performed. And there may be an incident or two where that's not the case. Given that background, the difference, and I read the difference in what we submitted to legislative council and what came out is that we suggested that the language on standards of medical care replace the more specific language as to what a breast exam is up in subsection 1 with that standard of care, exactly for the reasons that have been discussed. This is an emerging field. And we believed that just as the standard of care is not listed in the other two sections on women's health care, those sections do not tell the physician how what they're looking for. It says a pap smear and a pelvic exam. It doesn't say for looking for this, looking for that. So that's a change as well, using that type of language. And we thought, and the committee can disclose of this as best as they see fit, but we thought when you're dealing with emerging science and emerging techniques, that the language of using the standard of medical care would allow for that more than the more specific direction that's found up in subsection 1. So our recommendation was to not have both of those in the bill. And our reasoning, again, was that the standard of medical care is in reality between the physician and the patient, and that physician's professionalism. The third-party payer has very little to do with that after they credential a provider to receive payment for their services. So that was our intent, again, in trying to clarify this section of law, and there were no tricky motives at all. So we would be prepared to answer any questions that you have and try to be helpful if we can.
Okay, can I just ask you to pause for a moment? Representative Rosenbaum, would you like to join us up here today? If you'd like.
I will make you a...
You're making signs, huh?
Customize an answer, huh?
Are there any questions for this panel?
So, Mr. Chair, the only, in terms of when the residence damages incur, the only distinctions I see between the B4 and the B5 is that for annually for women of 18 years in age and older, it needs to be performed at the same time the rest of the health exams are prepared or at the doctor's recommendation. Under the B4, it's annually or at the recommendation of the health care provider. So really the only distinction on those two, after I keep reading it over and over again, is the fact that the B5s require it when you do the 743.728 exam. Okay. All right.
That's right.
And then you have the standard care. Okay.
But yes. Thank you. Standard of care is emerging, and I think that has been my concern on mandates all the way through, that sometimes we as a body are mandating a specific procedure, although I really don't think that's the case in this bill. I don't think there's a conflict, but there have been other mandates where we do mandate a specific procedure, and we really do need to follow the standard of care because that is evolving and emerging. We have more technology, we're learning, and some things that we mandate are just not going to be the best service for the particular patient for a certain diagnosis or for a certain treatment. So is that why you wanted to start putting that here? Because you're looking at it in the other mandates that might be coming down?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Mona Sanderson, it was what we try to do with these amendments is to stick as closely to the bill as possible and not totally rewrite it. We thought that would be confusing. We came in and said, guess what, just dump all this and go this direction. So that was chosen, that language was chosen for the reasons you articulated, and that is to provide, not start providing in each of these areas a specific methodology or finding what you're looking for, but to use the standard of care as a barometer that would change with medicine. And so that's, we chose these words because we were working within the framework of the bill. And in the framework of the bill, it said thorough, including looking for lumps, et cetera, et cetera. And we thought that language would be better. From a payer's point of view, I guess from a technical point of view, if it changed and there was a different indicator for a breast cancer other than lumps and that sort of thing, then I guess the third-party payer would say, we're not paying for looking for that. You just told us to look. We're paid for looking for this, this, and this. And that's the issue. Whether or not it creates legal issues way beyond that, I don't know.
Representative Greenlake and then Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, well, it does say other things. It says lumps and early and other changes. But John, I have this question of you. You, in the original testimony on the bill in the House, you supported it. The bill, and I think that was important. In fact, said this is what you're already doing. And you have some changes here that you've now discussed. I mean, some worries. If we adopt it with the B4 amendments, as it seems to me we're heading, will you still support the bill?
Mr. Chairman and members, quite frankly, I don't think we would oppose the amended bill with the B4 amendments, unless there is something indicated later that we're not aware of.
I guess I'm not an attorney, so I made the mistake of asking a question I didn't know the answer to, but I am happy with the answer.
again, it is our position that we pay for these procedures now, and we're not trying to get out of paying for them. We think that time should be taken to make sure whatever you put in here is the best you can come up with at this time.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Winters.
And I apologize for being delayed. It seems like we're in multiple committees in this building at this stage of the process. I guess for me, just a clarification of why the need for the change from the B4s to the B5s. Why you needed the tweak.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Winters, again, we believe that what we were trying to do with the B5s, I want to reiterate, this is not exactly what we suggested in the B5s. We did not suggest that the subsection 1 up above include that language that it does, and in its place, we had suggested that you use the standard of medical care in its place. That's what we, because we thought that did it more plainly and allowed for the emergence of methodologies and technologies.
Standard,
Mr. Chair, now I know why I wasn't on the health committee. And I have a new understanding and appreciation for the complexities of this whole body of statute and practice. It's fascinating, but I frankly remain quite comfortable with the B4s despite this discussion. I think it's been very worthwhile in terms of bringing some things forward that we hadn't thought of, but when I entered this fray had the original bill and the B4s that I have studied pretty thoroughly, and now the B5s. I am not sure that the B5s do the proper justice to clearing the air, and I remain, I think, committed to the B4 amendments. The base bill, I think, was important. I think that's why I'm here, and this notion of being sure that this exam, either annually or at the request of physician, is done. And so I'm quite comfortable with the B4s.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out that the language that's in Section 2 of your B4s on lines, I guess it would be 8 through 9, that shall provide coverage for a complete and thorough physical examination of the breast, including but not limited to a clinical breast exam performed by a health care provider to check for lumps or other changes for the purpose of early detection and prevention. That language really is the language that was in House Bill 2498A engrossed with the amendment that was suggested by the insurance industry to clarify what a clinical breast exam is, because I think they came into your initial hearing and said that there needed to be a better definition. So it appears that what you've done is just incorporated their definition into the body of the bill now. So it would seem like that would...
Well, if I did that, it was purely by accident.
Well, they were amendments that we had worked with the insurers on, so they were adopted in committee.
Are there any other questions for this panel from our conference committee here? I have a question then. Ms. Powell, I'm trying to respond to something that I think I heard you say, which was that we shouldn't have a situation where providers are billing for a complete women's examination if they're not providing all of the services or benefits under the annual women's exam, because it isn't called for at that particular time, and we wanted to maintain coverage for a clinical breast exam or this complete and thorough breast physical examination of the breast, irrespective of the other mandated services. And so I think you wanted to clarify that, and I think there's some interest in this committee to make that a little clearer under B4.
Mr. Chairman, the interest in clarifying that whole subject, currently if a woman has a separate breast exam, that would be paid for because there'd be a reason for doing it. And well, I've never had one of these. I'm told on conference calls from women on the call that you don't just go sign up for these for fun. So there would be a reason for this this exam. What we think is clear and what we hope is clear in both sets of amendments is that we're not unbundling medical services when you go in to get a physical, because payers pay a fee for that service. They do not pay for the unbundling of each service. So because it's one office call, one office visit, as opposed to unbundling the charges. So that was more of a concern. But currently, we pay for exams outside of this. And it's my understanding, after a woman has had an hysterectomy, that these exams take place differently. And there is, in many cases, no need for parts of the overall women's health exam every year. And so a standalone exam of the breast would, in fact, be covered. Currently.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenlee.
Okay. I heard some different testimony on this, and you did say something like this in your original testimony. I want to make sure that what I think is the intent of this is clear. Currently, there is a bundled CTP code for a annual women's health exam. The nature of that, as it's emerged, does not include what we're referring to here as a complete and thorough clinical exam of the breast. The intention of this, it seems to me, is to add a different code, and you talked about the development of this code, so that a physician doing what is now a standard women's physical exam could do that, which currently is viewed as having a 2 or 3 minute breast examination, and in addition do the complete and thorough physical exam. In fact, that's what we're training doctors to do, and in fact charge for this in addition to the current CPT code, or code this and the standard physical examination. I think that is the intention of what we're doing here.
Mr. Chair and Representative Greenlee, currently, whether there's a separate CPT code for a series of procedures, those normally in negotiations with payers, those CPT codes are bundled into a package. If the providers desire more money for that exam, including a complete and thorough, when we pay for a breast exam, it is our expectation that is a complete and thorough breast exam and would meet the standards of medical care. We are not paying for a mini exam. We are paying for a breast exam. And that part of the payment is not that it be a short-circuited one, but that it meet the standard of medical care necessary to detect breast cancer.
Let me respond to this. And that was exactly the point that we were trying to come up with in our informal group that we met on Monday. I mean, it seems that some providers are providing a breast examination that is, in fact, what they believe to be the standard of care, what the patient and the doctor believe to be the standard of care, and other providers believe that that's an insufficient examination and that something called a clinical breast examination should be performed, which is a much more extensive examination, physical examination of the breast. And so one of the things that was anticipated in this dash 4 is, and I'll just state sort of my legislative intent on this measure, is for the providers that are providing the breast examination that you are reimbursing already, they will be reimbursed for that procedure. And should people move to a more thorough procedure called the clinical breast exam and gain certification or some kind of distinction about their ability to do that, which I think is where the science is advancing to, or the practice is advancing to, they would then be performing that clinical breast exam and have a separate CPT code. But see, one of the challenges that I've had here is that it didn't seem to me that there was an agreement about which one should be performed, one or the other. Dr. Steiner brought in a couple of studies that spoke to that. Anyway, we went through that in our informal meeting. Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Yes, Senator Mara Sanderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to go back to what you said, and just to clarify, with the dash 4s, if a patient did not need an entire women's health exam, so to speak, because she had a hysterectomy or whatever, this still doesn't preclude you from just provide a clinical breast exam and just be paid for that, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Mona Sanderson, that is correct. That's my understanding.
Are you envisioning that a provider might seek reimbursement for more than just a clinical breast exam?
Mr. Chairman, no.
Okay.
If that's all that's performed,
sure.
We would hope they would not bill for anything else.
Okay. Well, I think that we've exhausted this. I asked you a question, Mr. Powell, about whether or not you wanted an amendment to the B4s to clarify that issue of paying for just the breast exam versus the whole exam, and I don't think I heard an answer that you wanted some kind of, that you had a specific suggestion about the B4s. I just want to check one more time. I'll give you a moment to check.
Chairman, I don't think a specific amendment is necessary to provide for the payment separately of a breast exam. Again, we would assume that the bill would only be for services rendered.
I would imagine so. So what you're saying is we wrote a good amendment. I think that's right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are we in work session?
I don't know how that works in a company.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is a work session. Right?
It's
all work session.
Mr. Chair, just a question for the record. Representative Greenlit and I just had passing comments about this. My question is for the record. Are the House my understanding of House rules is that they prohibited a conference committee discussion beyond the scope of the difference between the House and the Senate. Am I wrong on that?
Should we take a moment and get the House rules?
I can get the parliament.
Yeah, we might check that out, because I don't really...
And it may be the Senate rules, and I'm just confused.
It was very specifically that I asked that question on the floor, because I want about this committee, and I wanted to see if there were sideboards.
And the ruling from the chair was the speaker?
The chair who had the floor at the time answered, we could discuss anything relating to the bill, and there was no reaction to that from the speaker.
All right.
I was hoping to get some sideboards on it.
Okay.
That's why I asked the question.
No, that's okay. It's okay. Let's go. Let's go.
All right.
I'm just curious.
Is there anybody else that absolutely needs to be heard on the dash B5s or dash B4s? Okay. Excellent. Seeing no one. Representative Brown? Senator Brown? You ready to go?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Mr. Chair, I move the dash B4s to House Bill 2498 with
Thank you, Senator Mona Sanderson. We have a motion on the floor to, on the motion on the table to move the dash before amendments to House Bill 2498. Is there discussion on this motion? Is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, would the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Representative Greenlee?
Aye.
Senator
Mona Sanderson?
Aye.
Senator Winters?
Aye.
Chair Galto?
Chair votes aye. The dash B4 amendments having received a constitutional majority are ordered adopted. Senator Mona Sanderson?
All right. This is new for me, too.
Yeah.
So, this... I want to move that, what, this committee concurs to the House Senate amendment dated 6/10/2005, and that the bill, which is House Bill 2498, as amended with the B4s, be further amended and and be repassed.
Okay.
Where's that one?
This one here. Yeah. Okay, Senator Mona Sanderson moves. Which moves that the House and Senate concur in the House and Senate amendments dated April 27th, and be further amended and repassed
by the amendment
by the dash before amendments dated 7 June 2005. Very complicated. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Can you figure out what it is?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
President Greenlee?
Aye.
Senator
Montana?
Aye.
Senator Winters?
Aye.
Chair Galto?
Chair votes aye. House Bill 2498, as amended, is sent to the House and Senate with a due pass recommendation or something like that.
Okay.
the House and Senate. And yes, I'd like to ask who would like to carry this measure on the Senate.
Jackie carried it.
Senator Winters.
Senator Winters.
Representative Dalton will carry it in the House. Colleagues, thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate you,
you
working with us to come up with a resolution. With that, we're adjourned.
Okay. All right.